Marcia Savage with SearchFinancialSecurity.com. With regulatory pressures heating up from all angles, financial institutions need to make sure their anti-money laundering programs are comprehensive and efficient. I recently spoke with Neil Katkoff, Senior Vice President at Celent, a research and strategy firm focused on financial services, to get his insight into current AML trends, including how much companies are spending on their AML programs and what they should look for when evaluating AML products. Thanks for joining us today, Neil. I wondered if we could start by, if you could talk about financial institutions and their anti-money laundering programs. How much do they tend to spend and what is the primary driver?
I think the primary driver for anti-money laundering technology and the programs in general is regulatory. And banks might want to say they're putting in place these programs for the greater good, and certainly I think they do have a strong sense of responsibility in various ways and also are very aware of their reputational risk. But I think first and foremost, it's basically regulatory pressure. And this is very easy to see if you look at things on a global scale. If you look at countries, for example, that have AML legislation, but the regulators aren't actually enforcing, you know, the technology requirements, by and large, financial institutions aren't going to do a thing. So it's very clear that it's regulatory pressure. Now, that brings along with it maybe a host of good things, such as the, you know, ability to look close, more closely at customers and maybe uncover other schemes, such as fraud and things like that. But I think it's basically regulatorily driven. In terms of cost, we did a survey this fall looking at financial institutions actually globally, and we surveyed some very large global firms and very large U.S. firms and regional banks and also very small community banks, and found a real regularity in how much they're spending and also how large their operation centers are, you know, the AML analysts, et cetera, and their compliance departments. And there is quite a regularity. We found that the very small community banks tend to spend a higher percentage on technology. Makes sense, because the technology is expensive, even the sort of lighter versions. And the very large banks, in proportion to their size, are spending less on technology, but more on operations. For a very small community bank, they might pick up a technology solution for $50,000 US, maybe, if they're lucky, with good functionality, if they make a good choice. At large institutions, it can be, the whole total technology spend might end up being $10, $15 million to put in a pretty thoroughgoing system across multiple business lines. Once the technology is in place, costs drop dramatically, and basically it's just the running costs, which are much more manageable for institutions of all sizes.
Do financial institutions expect then their AML costs to rise over the next year, or not so much?
We also surveyed this, we found a bit of a range. I think most institutions expect them to rise, and that is mainly due to continuing requirements from regulators to add this or that functionality or reporting capability. One of the main things lately is adding a risk assessment capability to allow a risk-based approach to managing a client base from the point of view of AML compliance, red flags and things of that nature as well. Interestingly, some firms see a decline in their spending. Those types of firms tend to be the ones that have just put in technology. So as I just mentioned, that's quite expensive to do, but once it's in, you just have to run it, and so the costs drop. And then in a kind of very interesting way, the very large multinational companies that operate in, say, 60 or 100 countries are trying to standardize their operations across all those countries, and they're spending to do that. So costs are going up there in terms of how much they're spending. But they report that because of the rationalization and standardization that they're able to achieve, their operating costs drop. And so they report sort of flat spending.
Now, you touched on this. Can you talk a little bit about how banks are moving to an enterprise risk approach and how that impacts their AML efforts?
Yes, this is a pretty interesting topic. This is something that actually at Celent we've been looking at for, well, since we started looking at AML back in 2001. And it looks as though many financial institutions are actually starting to move down this path. It involves putting in place an organizational approach that covers both AML for multiple business lines. So, for example, retail and corporate banking, a brokerage perhaps at a large financial institution, or just a multi-business line financial institution, as well as a technology platform that is unified to some extent across those business lines, and plus also looping in the anti-fraud efforts of an organization, perhaps both by combining the department again into a single department, enterprise risk department, comprising both AML and fraud, and then perhaps also the technology platform. I think very interestingly, the direction of the technology integration seems to be from the AML side. So there are, of course, many very established anti-fraud vendors out there, but they do not seem to be picking up AML business to put onto their anti-fraud platform. Typically, it seems to be the AML vendors that get into an institution probably first for AML, and then the institution decides to use them for anti-fraud, in some cases displacing those very established legacy anti-fraud platforms. And I think that's very interesting and probably an indication really of the sort of technological innovation or you know, the amount of effort and development that's gone into the AML space.
Now, are there some issues with combining AML systems with anti-fraud capabilities?
There are a number of data challenges, data management and data feed challenges, and in an AML implementation, those types of issues are probably the most difficult part of an implementation, data cleansing, data feeds, and things of that nature. In addition to that, in order to make this work effectively, it's best to have a central case management and reporting system, and that requires really a good case management system with good business intelligence dashboard reporting functionality, and in an ideal scenario, the ability also to work the alerts or exceptions or hits that are produced by both the anti-fraud and AML side. Now, if you're taking everything from one vendor, which of course vendors would like to do, to be able to sell all that into an institution, that's simplified. But I think more often than not, presently, financial institutions have various AML systems and maybe various fraud systems. So this central case management reporting system has to be able to handle all of those different feeds and standardize them and be able to work with them in one standardized operational approach.
When companies are evaluating AML products, what areas should they focus on?
I think the case management is perhaps the most important thing, and not even from the risk, not even if an institution is not implementing an enterprise risk approach. Just from the point of view of being able to effectively and efficiently go through the volumes of alerts generated by an AML system, good case management is probably the most important thing. And that really, I think, overrides almost anything. I would say after that's serviced, time and again, financial institutions say they picked a vendor based on their response and their service. And then after that, I think things such as analytics and the actual sort of nuts and bolts functionality of the product are, of course, important, but somehow seem to be a little less important to financial institutions than case management and responsiveness of the vendor.
Now, I understand there's been consolidation in the AML market. Where do you think the market is headed right now?
I think the market is headed into new segments in the U.S., and those are the smaller bank segments, which regulators are now focusing on in terms of implementing technology and thoroughgoing programs. And then also globally, some different regional markets coming into play with regulators, you know, getting serious about AML technology and operations. Some of those markets are in Asia. Some of them are in the Middle East and Africa, to a lesser degree in Eastern Europe and Latin America.
Great. Well, Neil, thanks so much for all your time and help today. This has been really interesting.
Thank you. I hope it's useful.
That ends today's podcast. Thanks for listening, and for more information on AML and other topics, please visit searchfinancialsecurity.com.